Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In my last sermon, I discussed forgiveness, or in Farsi, guzasht, bakhshish, ba'af. We learned what the Quran teaches on this important virtue. I also shared with you what the renowned Iranian poet Hafiz teaches on forgiveness. Inshallah, I will continue my talk on forgiveness today, and I will break up my talk into two parts so that it's hopefully easier for you to follow what I have to say today. First, I will go over what forgiveness is, what its ultimate aim is, and also, and perhaps a little bit more importantly, what forgiveness does not include. In other words, things that we should not expect out of forgiveness. In the second part, I will discuss the positive or some of the positive outcomes of forgiveness for a happy life. So this is the roadmap for my talk today. Let's begin with what forgiveness essentially is and what forgiveness does not include. Forgiveness is a moral virtue, and all moral virtues require an appropriate mindset, and that's something I emphasized in my previous sermon. What does mindset mean? Well, mindset is a set of beliefs, a set of attitudes that a person may have. Every single one of us has a mindset. Now, if you want to lead a moral life, a life of virtue, then you need to have a mindset that lends itself to those virtues, virtues such as honesty, truthfulness, and also forgiveness. We have all come across people who can forgive, perhaps with relative ease. People who do not hold grudges, people who do not hold on to hard feelings. And I'm sure you have come across people of the opposite kind, people who have a hard time letting go of hard feelings, people who tend to hold on to grudges. The differential ability has to do with the person's mindset. Perhaps the most important reason why some people can let go of hard feelings and grudges while others cannot, perhaps it has to do with their mindset. My last sermon was really about the forgiving mindset. Through the teachings of the Quran and also Hafiz, I try to share with you what a forgiving mind may look like. Now let me add one other point, one other component of a mindset that is very conducive to forgiveness. Empathy. Empathy. If you want to develop a forgiving mind, you need to work on empathy. What does empathy mean? In a nutshell, empathy means being able to put yourself in the shoes of the person you are judging. In the case of forgiveness, if you have empathy, you will be able to walk in the shoes of the person who has hurt you, who has inflicted pain on you. In all likelihood, the wrongdoer also carries a hurt. The wrongdoer also carries a wound. Remember, abusive people tend to be victims of abuse themselves. One cannot hurt others without having been hurt by others before. Now, I don't mean to imply that being a victim of abuse justifies abusing others. That's not what I'm saying, not at all. But empathy allows us to feel the wound that the wrongdoer might be carrying as well. And that wound pushes him to do wrong. After all, as the Quran teaches, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ زَعِيفًا. Very profound verse in the Quran about an essential feature of all human beings. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ زَعِيفًا. Man was created weak. Or as Christians say, we are all sinners. You know, I really love this Christian phrase, we are all sinners, because it is true. Once we recognize that we all have weaknesses, we all have imperfections, once we realize that every single one of us carry wounds in our hearts, we will have more empathy. We will have more empathy towards those who wrong us. And empathy opens the door to forgiveness. Empathy opens the door to forgiveness. Now, in addition to the appropriate mindset, we also need training. We also need exercises to become good at virtues such as forgiveness. We rarely think about this important requirement. Most of us think that by going to a mosque or a church and listening to a sermon on forgiveness, we will become a forgiving person. That's not really the case. Forgiveness is very hard. It's a hard thing to do. But if you want to become a more forgiving person, first of all, you need to work on a mindset that is conducive to forgiveness. And secondly, you need to do exercises to become more adept in forgiveness. So, this is an important requirement. When you want to be physically fit, what do? You exercise, you go to the gym. Well, our soul and psyche also need appropriate exercises, so we become capable of practicing virtues such as forgiveness. Let me give you very quickly, we don't have that much time, let me very quickly give you a couple of routine exercises that can increase our ability to practice forgiveness. We must get into the habit of doing small acts of forgiveness in everyday life. Do you want to become able to forgive in difficult situations? You need to get into the habit of doing small acts of forgiveness in everyday life. For example, let me give you a couple of quick examples. When you are driving on the road and someone cuts you off, don't honk. Believe it or not, this thing is difficult even for myself, because our natural tendency is to honk when somebody cuts in front of us. But when we don't honk, we forgive the other driver's wrong move. The other driver actually may be in an emergency and we don't know it. Another example of a small act of kindness and forgiveness that will go a long way to enable us to become more forgiving. When your spouse, those of you who are married like me, when your spouse snaps at you, don't respond angrily. Hold your tongue, maybe even extend a hug instead. These small acts of kindness, generosity, gratitude, and forgiveness keep the flame of goodness alive in us. So, brothers and sisters, do not underestimate the power of small acts of goodness, whatever that act may be. And by the way, this wisdom that I just shared with you comes to you by the way of the Prophet Muhammad's tradition. Good topic for a future sermon. How small acts of kindness can go a long way in creating the right environment within us to be more kind towards humanity. So, we must work on creating an inner environment, that is conducive to forgiveness. Nobody is born with the ability to forgive on a grand and massive scale. We must cultivate a forgiving mind. And once we have such a mind, then we would not hold on to grudges. We would not hold on to hard feelings. We will be more able to forgive. Now, let me say a word on the scope of forgiveness. I'm going to shift gear a little bit and tackle the scope of forgiveness, something that many of us may not really be aware of. Most of us limit forgiveness to forgiving others, right? So most of us tend to think that forgiveness means strictly forgiving other people who have harmed us, a spouse, a parent, a friend, a child who might have harmed us, hurt us, or perhaps betrayed our trust, or even physically abused us. But we should not limit forgiveness to forgiving others. Forgiveness also includes our own self. Sometimes we are in dire need of forgiving our own self. Self-forgiveness. Very important. What does self-forgiveness mean? Well, we have all made mistakes in the past, right? We have all done that. Now, mistakes might be different. The mistake could be bad religious beliefs, as Brother Farshid and Brother Farid constantly remind us of how bad religious beliefs can affect our lives, our decision-making, our behavior. Most of us have been victims of bad religious beliefs. Beliefs that can make us superstitious, beliefs that can make us abandon our reason, aql, bad religious beliefs that can even make us abandon our God-given common sense, beliefs that can make us closed-minded, hateful, and bigots. The mistakes could be bad judgments we have made in the past. The mistake might be betraying the trust of our loved ones. When we make a mistake, it's a good thing to be angry at ourselves. It's a good thing. It's healthy to have remorse, right? It's a good thing. After we make a mistake, a bad decision, after we do wrong to another person, it's good to have remorse, to have a deep and painful regret for our wrongdoing. Remorse is a good sign that we have come to realize that we are at fault and we need to take steps to correct it. However, it is not good, it is not healthy to dwell on our past mistakes. If the feeling of blame and guilt persists, it would become a burden on our mind. It will become a burden on our soul, and it's a bad thing. We need to let go. We need to let go. That's what Rumi teaches in Mathnavi. And that's what self-forgiveness is all about. That's what it entails. Letting go of the emotions and feelings associated with what we have done wrong in the past. Not dwelling on our own past mistakes. Not letting our past define who we are. Are you with me? Many of us, it's so destructive, but many of us let our past define who we are today. Self-forgiveness means exactly that, not to let our past define who we are today. Now, in both cases, that is forgiving others or our own self, forgiveness entails the release of anger, the release of bitterness and resentment, so we can close the book on a bad experience, and we do not carry the baggage of that experience going forward. But forgiveness has a deeper layer, right? And I want to address that. Forgiveness has a deeper layer, particularly as it relates to traumatic experiences, right? Experiences such as being physically or emotionally abused by someone close to us. Experiences such as infidelity, murder of a loved one. These wounds can leave lasting scars, lasting feelings of resentment, bitterness, anger, and sometimes even hatred. You see, physical pain or the pain associated with financial loss or losing a job typically goes away after a while. But emotional pain that follows traumatic experience typically lingers on, typically sticks around. It doesn't go away easily. It can even become debilitating. It can become crippling. The injury to our heart and soul, the emotional wound, must be healed. This is very critical. That's why forgiveness is such a big deal in all authentic religions, in all spiritual traditions. The injury caused to our heart and soul by a traumatic experience must be healed. And unfortunately, there is no fixed formula for healing emotional wounds. But I can tell you what the first step in healing is. What is the first step in healing? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. It is impossible to heal while we hold on to bitterness and resentment. Healing cannot start if we continue to hold on to resentment and bitterness that comes with a traumatic experience. That's what moral teachers and also psychologists today agree on. Forgiveness paves the way for healing. Forgiveness paves the way for healing. Forgiveness heals the inner pain. It repairs the damage that the wrongdoer has done to the victim's soul and psyche. But if the victim chooses not to forgive, he will hold on to that pain. In reality, the victim might be the one who pays most dearly. Most dearly. When I choose not to forgive, I will carry the baggage of that experience with me. Long after the wrong is done to me, the wrongdoer will continue to control my feelings. The wrongdoer will continue to dominate my emotions and my mind. Forgiving the wrongdoer decreases the grip of his act on you. Forgiveness can help free you from the control of the person who harmed you. So forgiveness, and this is important, so forgiveness is really not something that you give as a gift to another person, the person who has wronged you, who has harmed you. No, forgiveness is a gift that you give to yourself. So the primary beneficiary of forgiveness is the person who forgives, not the wrongdoer. And let me add to what I just said. Every single virtue, truthfulness, kindness, whatever, all these virtues, the primary beneficiary of those virtues is the person who practices those virtues, not the recipient, not the external recipient of those virtues. So in a nutshell, this is what forgiveness is all about. Now let me point out what forgiveness does not include, which is very important too. We tend to always focus on what forgiveness entails. But now I want to bring up some points about things that are not included in forgiveness. Things that forgiveness cannot deliver or resolve. Important, please pay attention. First, when we forgive a wrong, it doesn't mean that we condone and we approve that wrong behavior. It doesn't mean that we don't see anything wrong with that behavior. For example, when I forgive someone who has betrayed my trust, it doesn't mean that betrayal is kosher, that it is okay to betray. No, betrayal is immoral. It is bad. It is unhealthy. It is destructive. Forgiving a betrayal simply allows the victim to heal the inner wound caused by the betrayal. That's really the whole point behind forgiveness. Secondly, forgiveness does not mean that we become a doormat. You all know what a doormat is, right? Something that you put at the entrance of your house and people who want to come in, they step over the doormat. Forgiveness does not mean that we become a doormat. It doesn't mean that we should allow abusive people keep walking on us. We shouldn't do that. We should not allow the same person to hurt us repeatedly. Abuse, like any other injustice, must be confronted, must be dealt with. We must put an end to it. Forgiveness is about what comes after we have put an end to the abuse. Are you with me? Not before, but after we have put an end to the abuse comes the time to forgive. Thirdly, forgiveness does not guarantee reconciliation with the person who has wronged us. That's not something we typically think about. Most of us think that the point of forgiveness, forgiving a friend, a parent, a child, means that we want to reconcile with them. Not necessarily. Forgiveness does not guarantee reconciliation with the person who has wronged us. If the hurtful event involved someone whose relationship we value, a parent, a child, a spouse, there is no assurance that after we forgive, the relationship would be restored to the shape that it had before that unfortunate event. There is no such assurance. Reconciliation is not always possible. The victim or the wrongdoer may have reservations to re-engage with each other. And that's okay. It's okay. I can still forgive the wrongdoer without necessarily desiring to reestablish the bond that I used to have with him or her. If the person whom has wronged us has died, obviously we cannot reconcile with him because he's not even around. But we can still forgive the deceased by letting go of our resentment, our bitterness and anger toward him. So forgiveness of a deceased person is still meaningful and very relevant. So forgiveness is always possible, but reconciliation is not always possible. Reconciliation is not a required outcome for forgiveness. Fourth thing that doesn't come with forgiveness, or forgiveness does not solve or resolve. And this is an interesting one. Forgiveness may not lead to changing the wrongdoer. If your expectation is that after you forgive the person who has harmed you, the person has to change, I've got bad news for you. That's not the intent of forgiveness. Forgiveness may not lead to changing the wrongdoer. Sometimes the person who has wronged us is not even willing to change. Remember, the point of forgiveness is to change our life, not to change the behavior of the wrongdoer. Yes, we are hopeful that our kindness may open his eyes, that our kindness may trigger something in his mind to address his flaws. But if that does not happen, if the wrongdoer does not change, still our forgiveness has achieved its intended goal. What is that goal? To release the anger, bitterness, and resentment that would hold us back. Right? So that's really the point of forgiveness, even though the wrongdoer may not change. Now let me go into the second part of my talk. Positive outcomes of forgiveness for a happy life. What are the positive outcomes of forgiveness for a happy life, for happiness? We all want to have a happy life. Prophets and philosophers tell us that a happy life rests on virtues. Every single prophet of God, every single philosopher would tell you that a happy life rests on virtues such as honesty, truthfulness, and of course, forgiveness. When we practice forgiveness, it creates an inner environment that makes us feel content and happy. we will have a positive outlook on life. Let me share some of those positive outcomes. The first one, forgiveness is empowering. Forgiveness is empowering. We all want to have power, right? We all want to have power, except we often look for power in all wrong places. In the outside world, that's where we look for power. That's where we invest our energies to have power, right? Power over others through money, through political connections, popularity, so on and so forth. This is external power. And I have bad news for you. External power typically leads to tension, stress, and anxiety. True power comes from within. That's what Rumi would tell you. That's what all mystics would tell you. True power comes from within, internal power. That's what empowerment means, acquiring power from within. Now the question is, how does forgiveness actually empower us? Well, let me very briefly tell you how this happens. Forgiveness allows us to regain control of our life. Forgiveness allows us to regain control of our life. If we don't forgive, the wrongdoer who has inflicted pain on us will continue to have power over us. How? By dominating our feelings and emotions. Have you thought about that? When we don't forgive, we will continue thinking about that awful thing the person has done to us. And when we keep reminding ourselves of that terrible experience, we relive that experience, right? That person will continue to have power over us by dominating our feelings, emotions, and mind. And that's a double whammy. That's a double whammy. Unforgiveness makes us powerless. Unforgiveness perpetuates the mindset of victimhood. We always see ourselves as a victim. And by definition, a victim is weak, is powerless, right? So unforgiveness will feed this self-perception, this perception of victimhood. Unforgiveness will impede us from gaining control over our life, from exercising power over our own life. The second positive outcome, forgiveness is a vehicle for inner peace. Inner peace. When we forgive, the stress and anxiety that comes with holding on to the bitterness and resentment will go away. And when stress and anxiety goes away, peace will emerge. Peace will come. Forgiveness may or may not bring peace between you and the wrongdoer, but it will sure create a sense of inner peace for you. The third positive outcome of forgiveness. Forgiveness brings freedom. Forgiveness brings freedom. What sort of freedom? Forgiveness frees us from the past. Unforgiveness effectively amounts to keeping our mind set on the past, right? Unforgiveness amounts to keeping our minds on the past. And living in the past robs us of the joy of the present. Those of you who are familiar with Sufism know that living in the present is considered a pillar of a happy life. As Rumi teaches, Sufi ibn al-Waqt bashad ay rafiq. The Sufi lives in the present moment, not in a past that is gone or a future that has not arrived or may not even arrive for that person. What we have is this moment, and forgiveness certainly helps this cause by letting go of the resentment and the anger that comes with holding on to bad memories of unfavorable events in the past. So these are some of the positive outcomes of forgiveness. Let me close with a quick summary. Forgiveness is not about forgetting the past. It is not about excusing or condoning bad behavior. Forgiveness is not a band-aid to repair a relationship with our parent, spouse, friend, child. Forgiveness is not even a favor to hold over someone. Forgiveness is primarily about healing. It is primarily about healing, to release the anger, bitterness, and resentment that can cripple us, can debilitate us. And the primary benefactor of forgiveness is the person who forgives. He is helping himself a lot more than the wrongdoer. We're running out of time, and I have to stop the sermon right here. I hope that what I shared with you over the past couple of sermons on forgiveness has been of value to you, and now hopefully you have a better understanding of why forgiveness is such an important virtue in all world religions and all spiritual traditions. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.